Well, good morning, Harvest family.
Good morning.
Boy, you alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic this morning? Amen. You pray for me today. My allergies are still bothering me, but pray my voice will hold out. But we're so good to be here. Had a wonderful weekend. Looking forward to a wonderful Lord's Day today. And we'll have a little, tell you what's going on today. We'll have a word of prayer. In just a moment, we have a video. We'll have a service in honor of our veterans today for Veterans Day for tomorrow. We'll have a little video here in just a moment, a message toward that angle. And then at the end of the service, we'll take another 5 minutes, maybe a little less, as we're going to have our, for me, as your pastor at Harvest, our first baby dedication. And so we had our second baptism last week. We'll have baby dedication today, and praying the Lord will give us many more in the coming years and in the near future. Amen. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have a video for you here in Veterans Day. Then our choir will sing for us. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings upon our services today. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for the privilege of serving you. Father, thank you for the privilege of not only having the opportunity to serve my country, but also to serve you, to serve my Lord. I pray that you would bless our services today. I pray that you would thank you for our veterans, Lord, around the world, especially that are here, right here with us this morning in our service. We pray your blessings and protection upon them. Thank you for their service and their willingness to serve and defend their country. And pray they'll continue to have a desire to serve you as their living Savior. Now, Father, meet with us today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set foot on America's eastern shores, a dream was born. It drew those who believed in freedom and inspired those who imagined that a people could govern themselves. Through the years, the dream has been challenged by tyrants, torn and tested by war and economic hardship, and threatened by terrorists. But with God's help, somehow the American dream has survived.
How beautiful the thought that was conceived, a country built on freedom, land of liberty. Simply by the goodness of our Lord, a place of endless promise waiting on these shores. Freedom, enemies of peace. They rise to challenge these United States. They underestimate us, and when a new day breaks.
Beacon to the nations, triumph the dance so strong, the dream is fine.
as we get forward to giving of our tithes and offerings, those of you who are visiting with us, please, the only thing we ask of you today is just enjoy the time of service. If you have a visitor's card filled out, please drop it in the offering plate. And that's all we hope or expect from you folks. We're so glad you're here and hope I get a chance to talk with you a little bit more if I have not already, as well as our other folks. I don't think you'll leave this building without having your hand shook several times and greeted. So we have a friendly church. So we're glad you're here with us. Yes, but I know. I just got to give me a minute. Yes, I know. My mind's somewhere else just for a moment. We'll get ready to pray just a moment. It's not an age thing. It's an emotional thing right now going on with me. It is. I'm just so thrilled to see the amount of veterans we have in our church, those who serve their country, and many of those veterans also serving the Lord. And I'm just so grateful and honored to be your pastor. Brother Wayne, would you ask God's blessings upon our tithes and offering, please?
Heavenly Father, this morning is proud who can say that we live in the land of the free. All to give you the honor and the glory. And while we're doing it, we want to and first responders that has made it possible that we can say that we live in the land of the free. As we prepare to receive our tithe, we just humbly ask that both would be used in ways that are pleasing to you. In your Son's precious name, amen.
In a moment, we'll have a word of prayer. For those who are visiting with us today, we have a time of prayer each week, and the church has had a history of doing this, and I've continued on as I pray for these men and the men of Harvest. They also pray for one another and pray for me before the message this morning. So if you would join us in prayer, let's go before the Lord. Father, how wonderful it is to serve a risen Savior. Lord, I thank you so much as we set aside a little bit of time today to honor those who have served their country, who served their country honorably, Father. And we'll talk about that word honor today. Father, thank you for those who are willing, some who did give their life, who gave all, and others who gave a portion of their life for service for their country. And Father, I pray that you, again, that you would bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. Father, I pray that you would bless our men that are here this morning, our Harvest men. Father, put a hedge about them, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress, protect them from hurting others, and may their hearts and their conscience be so sensitive when they recognize they have that they strive to make those things right. Father, bless them, use them, help them be the leaders of their home. Father, leaders at work in their community and here and at church. Father, use them, Lord, to make a difference. May those who know you and are seasoned in Christ make the time and be willing to mentor the younger men in the Lord that they might encourage them to be the godly example before them. Father, bless our ladies and our children. Oh, how grateful we are for those who work with our children and those who are out during children's church right now. Pray that you bless those young boys and girls. And Lord, when they come to a clear understanding of sin, that they may come to know you as Christ as their personal Savior. Bless our ladies, Father, and their willingness to pray and to encourage their pastor and pastor's wife and their husbands and men of our church and families. Lord, how blessed we are of our Harvest ladies. Father, bless us as a church. And now, Father, bless those that are visiting with us this morning for the first time or the first time in a while or maybe a second visit, that you would comfort and encourage them. Pray that you direct their hearts to a place that you would have them to plant their membership and where you would have them to serve, Lord, one another in our community as well as in our church. Father, help us to be that guidance and help to them to find a place where they can serve and be used of you, whether it be here at Harvest or somewhere else. But Father, in all honesty, I'm a little biased. I think this is the best place to serve you. But Lord, we pray that you give them perfect peace and wisdom. Now, Father, help me today. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech as I preach here in a few moments, Lord, that you would bless, encourage, strengthen, and help me, help my voice, Father, and I may be able to endure that. And Father, again, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may today be their day of salvation. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. Before Miss Michelle comes and sings for us, you have your Bibles. We're going to look at John chapter 15. I want to read just two verses of Scripture. We'll look at many others this morning, and all of them are in your bulletin handout if you want to refer them later if I move a little bit too quickly for you, but they're also in our handout in the bulletin. John chapter 15 and verse number 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
From Tennessee, the land of football and Rocky Top. She's from Maine, from a town by the sea. They're from Texas, Indiana, Arizona, and Washington, but they unite to defend our liberty. They left home and country to fight for our liberty. They stand between the world and her foe. They are the best and the brightest America has to offer. They are our sons and our daughters. As they fight for our freedom, many miles away from home, we must fight for their freedom from Satan's hold. We must share the presage message of grace and liberty. They must hear that the Savior loved them so much that he left his home in heaven to fight for their liberty. He stands between a holy God and their foe. He was the only sacrifice that heaven had to offer. He is their holy defender. They need to know. They left home and country to fight for our liberty. They stand between the world and her foe. They are the best and the brightest America has to offer. They are our sons and our daughters. He is their holy defender.
As many of you already know, that not only did I serve in the military, but also pastored a military ministry outside of the Air Army base in Germany for many years. I have a heart for the military. I have a heart for missions. I have a heart for people. What greater sacrifice than we have an example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I want to talk a little bit about what it takes not only to be a good soldier, but who Christ is and was and continues to be for us. And that's honor. Again, in our text, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Many of our veterans gave all. Some gave some gave all. Some gave their life. And as we look at that example and ask ourselves as well in our Christian service. But before I go there, let me go over just a few things as a veteran. What is a veteran? As we know, it is a person who has long experience in a particular field. A person who has served in the military. The holiday Veterans Day is an official public holiday observed annually on November the 11th that honors those who served honorably for at least 90 days in United States Armed Forces. When writing the word or phrase Veterans Day, there is no apostrophe because it is not a day that belongs to the veterans. It's a day for the country to recognize all veterans. It is a day to show appreciation for those who have honorably served their country. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines honor as a good name or public esteem, reputation, recognition, a person of superior standing, one whose worth brings respect or fame. I believe the word honor is very important, but it has been somewhat weakened or diluted in our present generation today. I believe, we even use phrases like there's no honor among thieves. This phrase is an expression that suggests that people in groups that are not considered honorable or trustworthy may still have honor among themselves. You see, the word honor appears in the Declaration of Independence, which states, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance upon the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Oh, how far honor has slipped in defining and in use and in life. Honor has been weakened in both service to our country as well as service to our Lord. Don't misunderstand me. I think both are important, but the greatest is that honor in serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, I had the privilege of talking to a preacher who pastored a large church in Florida, also had a Bible college. And for some reason, he decided, you know, I'm going to start asking a simple question to every church that I preach at, extend the invitation or present our college, or me coming to our college, ask them the simple question, did you serve your country in the military? Surprisingly, he said, during that time in the 70s and 80s, almost 82% pastors serving and missionaries and evangelists had served their country. And he said, this is what it tells me. It tells me that it's a wonderful open field of ministering to our U.S. military and reaching them for the cause of Christ. They may learn to soldier while on active duty, and they continue to soldier for the Lord when they get finished and continue on in service for the Lord. Honor is found 178 times in our Bibles. Here are a few examples. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom and honor. And before honor is humility. John 5:23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which has sent him. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. Revelations 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Dear friends, as Christians, we should serve the Lord and our country honorably. If you recognize today, and the Lord even spoke to my heart yesterday in preparation, yes, Tennessee did win yesterday, but I'm feeling a whole lot more patriotic than I am anything else today. What a wonderful thing to know that I am not only a believer and a follower of God, but I'm a citizen of the United States of America. And therefore, I must do my part within my country in ministering and loving on others around me. We need to be willing to make sacrifices for others, both in defense of our nation and, most importantly, willing to make sacrifices for a lost and dying world that needs Christ. There should be honorable veterans in Christian service because we continue to serve until death or until the Lord takes us home. We are to honorably serve him until we can not any longer serve. Today, I would like for us to focus on the love and dedication a person must have in order to give his or her life in service and protect not only their country, but also a lost and dying world. Let's look at our greatest example that we have in the Word of God, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Some of the greatest soul winners, some of those men that women that I've met that have a passion for the Lord were those that were serving in the armed forces, serving overseas, serving here in America, wherever they were serving, inviting and telling others and bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ, telling them how honorable that God was under and giving his son and how honorable he was to give his life that they may have eternal life. Let's break down that passage of scripture, if you would, this morning. First of all, number one, a great love, for God so loved the world. Let me ask you, dear friends, do we love the world the same way God loves the world? Are we to be like Christ? Are we loving them in the same way that we're willing to give of ourself and to our country to tell others about Christ and to live for him? A great love. Number two, a great gift, that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends, that he gave his only begotten son. Before we go on, let me ask you, Christian, what are we willing to give? Christ is willing to give his life. Are we willing to surrender ours to service for him? Are we willing to give some time each day to pray for our lost loved ones and neighbors and friends and coworkers? Are we willing to give some time to set aside to pray and say, Lord, how would you have me to serve at Harvest Baptist Church? Lord, how would you have me to be involved in ministry and teaching or music or whatever it may be? Lord, how would you have me to give back unto you through the ministry of the Harvest Baptist Church? He gave all. Lord, help me be willing to give of some of my time and service to him. A great love, a great gift, and then a great occasion, that whosoever believeth in him. The Bible tells us in John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, 3:16, but have everlasting life. John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Verily, verily, I say unto you in John 6:47, that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, but thou knowest this. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And then John 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What a great occasion that God provided and created for us mere mortals here on earth. He was not only this great love, this great gift, but this great occasion. And dear friend, one of the greatest occasions that has ever taken place in your life is meeting the Lord Jesus. It was a great occasion when I met Miss Michelle and talked her into marrying me. It was a great occasion with the birth of our children, our grandchildren. But the greatest occasion was the day that somebody introduced me, presented the gospel at Children's Church at the old Dixon Boulevard Baptist Church. I realized my need for Christ. I realized my sinful condition and trusted Christ as my Savior. That was the greatest occasion that has taken place in my life. And dear friend, have you not experienced that occasion, the greatest occasion you could ever experience? And please don't misunderstand me. It's not enough just to believe. James tells us the devils believe and tremble. But realizing your sinful condition, asking the Lord to forgive you, and trusting Him as your Savior. Boy, what an occasion. Boy, wouldn't it be a wonderful occasion if revival could break out in Washington, D.C.? Wouldn't it be a wonderful occasion if a revival could break out in the House and the Senate of each and every state? Boy, wouldn't it be? But the bottom line is this: revival must start in my life with me. Revival must start in your life with you. Dads, it must start with you as the spiritual leader of your home. Are you willing to give us some time to pray for revival? Are you willing to give us some time and express that love that Christ has for you and the love that you have for your lost friends and your lost family, that they may know Christ? A great love, a great gift, a great occasion. And then number four, a great freedom. Should not perish. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. John 11:50, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Well, I don't know about you. I'm ready for the upper taker. I don't know when the Lord's going to return. I hope it's soon, but I know this. This old body might be put in the grave, but don't be fooled. I'm just as much, if not more, alive when I die than I am right now. I will not perish. This old body may go to the grave. Those other things may take place, but I know whom I have believed in. I know where I will be in eternity because the Bible tells me of this great freedom that I will not perish because of my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, what about that great love in your life? That great gift, have you experienced it? Have you experienced that great occasion when Christ gave His life willingly and you trusted Him as your Savior? Do you realize the greatness here of all these things and then this idea of a great freedom? Boy, what liberty to know. I know where my heavenly home is. When we moved to Arizona, this is absolutely free. This came to me, not even in my notes. We had no idea what was going to be here in Arizona. We had no idea about Harvest Baptist Church needing a pastor. We did not know about a home. We had already sold our home. Our possessions were in storage. Wasn't quite sure what we were going to do. And as you ladies know, for many of you ladies, especially those ladies are nesters, it's a little bit different, a little bit awkward when you don't have a home. Physical. Preached a message some time ago, about a year ago, of everyone needs three homes. I'm so glad that though I may have a building that I sleep in, a bed in my room, but I'm so glad to know that I'm just a passing through. Because my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That is my home. That is my heavenly home. And I look forward to that day. But until that day comes, I want to love others. And I'm going to do my best to reach others and tell them about the Lord Jesus. Help believers to grow in grace and knowledge and live for the Lord. And then let them experience that great freedom that we have in Christ. Number five, a great future. Oh boy, but have everlasting life. Well, I tell you what, no more allergies, no more arthritis, no more aches and pains. Oh, hallelujah. And no more deacons. Man, praise God. No, I'm just kidding. I love our deacons. Sit down, Brother Leonard. I'm just kidding. Boy, what a great freedom to know where we are going to spend eternity. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. John 4:14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give unto him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 6:40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up in that last day. In John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Dear friends, have you experienced this kind of love? What a wonderful future that we have. Folks, I tell you what I'm more excited about because of this time of the year. Praise God, there'll be no more elections in heaven. Amen. I mean, it's just going to be wonderful. I just can't wait for our Lord's return. We have a great future. It may be a little bumpy right now. It may be a little rough. It may be a little sideways at times. It may be a little frustrating. You may feel aggravated and overwhelmed. But just remember, one day in the future, all that will pass away, because I know my Redeemer liveth. I know of His great love. I know of His great gift. I know of His great freedom. And I know of the great future that I have because of what the Lord did for me in giving His Son to die on Calvary's cross. Dear friends, let me ask again, have you experienced that kind of love? If so, have you shared it with somebody else? Are you an active soldier of the cross? Are you honorably serving the Lord Jesus? Veterans, are you honorably serving the Lord as you honorably served your country? Are you an active soldier of the cross? Are you honorably serving the Lord? John 15, again in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Dear friends, I realize there might be some folks in your life. Some might be related, some might not. There might be some that you have a hard time that you just don't like. But the Bible says we're to love them. Come on. We're to love them and to pray for them. And Lord willing, the Lord will change your heart and change your life. But it starts with us setting the example and loving others as Christ loved us. Remember, there should be active, honorable veterans in Christian service. Those of us who have trusted Christ, we have knowledge, we have the experience, we're veteran Christians, we should be veteran soldiers of the cross, moving forward, never looking back, never being discharged, because we have a desire to continue to serve until death or our Lord's return. No matter what our shape is, no matter what our condition, there are so many that need to hear about the Lord Jesus. So many that need to hear about a great love, about a great gift, about a great freedom and a great future they can have in Christ. Dear friends, when's the last time that you shared your testimony? When's the last time you asked somebody, hey, can I tell you what Christ has done for me? So often, we get excited about things. I've been under conviction about some things this year. As you know, those of you visiting with us, I still have a heart for Tennessee. I probably will never go back other than to visit. This is where God has put me. This is where I plan to serve until the Lord takes me home. But when Tennessee wins in football, I wear my bright orange tie, whether it matches or not. But then I have to ask myself, am I just as patriotic to my Savior as I am to my country? Am I just as patriotic to my Savior as I am my favorite football team? Am I still a desire to serve Him, to live for Him, to set the example, to put aside things that may bother me or get in the way and say, Lord, help me to see past all those things and help me to see someone that needs Christ? I would imagine, as we prepare to close, Ms. Marley, if you'll make your way, there's probably someone in your life, a family member, someone who works down at the grocery store. Maybe even sometimes you even look at the cash register to see who's working, because I don't want to go through this line, but man, they're just so rude and they're just so kind of hateful. They're just really never happy. Even that line's long, but I'm still going to go there. I'm going to go to checkout. Can I challenge you to change your heart and you change your mind a little bit and say, Lord, no matter how long the line is, no matter how frustrating or hateful he or she is, I'm going to get in their line. And Lord, by the grace of God, before the year is out, before you return, somewhere along the way, I hope her heart will soften because of my cheerfulness and because of my excitement and my happiness toward others. Miss Michelle does a wonderful job. Every time we go shopping, and it doesn't matter what's going on, it doesn't matter how they greet or treat others, she goes up and she looks for their name, she calls them by their name, she asks them how they're doing, asks them if they're having a good day, and asks them, hey, how you doing? Having a good day? How's work today? And if it's not too good, or seem like they're having a rough day, say, well, are you just getting started? Or is it almost time to get off? Did you make you smile about? She finds a way to try to connect with them that she might be able to introduce them to Jesus at another time or another place, or look for an opportunity. Dear friends, the opportunities are there. And we need to remind ourselves once again and ask this question. Father, am I serving you honorably? Am I serving veterans, my Savior, like I served my country honorably? Am I serving my Heavenly Father, my church family? Am I as honorable as our Heavenly Father who gave His Son, who willingly gave that I might have eternal life? Dear friends, there's not a doubt. We have friends and neighbors that need Christ. Let's make sure that we serve them honorably, that we set the example that they might see. And then before we pray this morning, if you're here today and you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved on your way to heaven, if you have just the slightest doubt, why not settle that today? If you're here today and you've never thought about it, or maybe you've heard about this thing, but you've never made the decision of realizing, say, Lord, you know, I am a sinner, and you've never asked the Lord to forgive you and to save your soul, why not just make your way to here to the front when the piano begins to play and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. It doesn't matter if you grew up in church. It doesn't matter if your family are involved in ministry. It doesn't matter your background. Everyone approaches the cross the same way, a sinner in need of saving. So it makes a difference, because this church will rejoice in your salvation, no matter how young or how old, church member who's unsaved, visitor who's unsaved, whatever the case may be. This church, like our Savior, will rejoice in a sinner coming to Christ. Would you stand with me this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around, just for a moment. Our pianos begin playing, and if God has spoken to your heart this morning, God has put something on your heart, Father, you bless this time of invitation. Help those who may need to come and pray, whether it be for salvation. Those who may need to come and pray, say, Lord, help me to be a more honorable Christian. Help me to be active and sensitive and about my Father's business. Lord, that I might serve you as you would have me to serve. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, just for a moment. If God has spoken to your heart, you have a need for Christ, why not come forward right now? Or maybe you just want to come and pray and say, Lord, thank you for the message. Thank you for the challenge, Lord. Help me to serve you by serving others. If God has spoken to your heart, right now, just move out and come forward. Some have come and others may need to.